Welcome to the State of Energy. I'm Randy Witt, along with a man that doesn't need to lift up his shirt in order to get Mardi Gras beads. They just throw them at him just because. Tom Clark, Executive Director of Rocky Mountain Propane Association.
Oh my gosh.
Is that a good visual? Like that one?
Wow. I'm just happy that you were wearing your helmet on your ski trip.
Yes, skiing and snowboarding trip. I went to Colorado. Yeah, it was beautiful up there. It's just, I think I've washed all the Maine out of me because it was cold. Snowmass. I mean, you're on top of that mountain and you're looking down and you're seeing clouds.
I've never been.
Looking down.
I've never been. I didn't get the invite either.
I didn't get the invite to New Orleans next week.
It's open.
Thanks.
It's open to
anybody. Appreciate that. You can find out how propane can improve your life, improve your wallet, improve the world by going to thestateofenergy.com. And Thomas, Mr. Thomas, what are people going to find when they go to thestateofenergy.com?
Well, we have most importantly all of our past episodes, right? So we got over 100 episodes that we've done. We're on our third season.
Third.
We're on our. Is this our fourth?
Oh my gosh, I think we're going. This is our fourth.
We just started our fourth year. Wow. We just finished up our third season. So yeah, we're on episode two of our fourth season. So this is exciting.
And you can go back and listen to those shows and witness how right Tom was. Years ago.
We've made a lot of predictions, right? So yeah. Some of them are good. Some of them are. We're not all that great, but for the I think we're on track to having a pretty good record in 4 years of all of our predictions.
How many cities? I mean, we're in what, 1,200 cities, 62 countries.
Let's see, we've got 1,234 cities, which are our listeners, and we have 59 countries that have listened to the State of Energy.
Oh, so we haven't cracked 60 yet. I'm sorry. I thought we...
We haven't cracked 60. No, we're still on 59 countries, but I'm...
Hey, you guys in Yemen, click download.
But if you listen to something on the show and you're interested in learning more about it, you can go to the episode and we have the links to the stories that we're talking about. And then we also have the links to our safe appliance rebates. So if you're looking to upgrade your propane powered appliance, or you're going to get rid of one of those really inefficient electric water heaters and you want to get a really efficient, clean propane water heater, we got a $200 rebate to make sure that was installed safely. Because you know how it is when you go down and you buy something and you're really not sure you know how to install it, but you call your brother-in-law over and you guys kind of put this.
He's watching YouTube.
You put this thing together, and then at the end you're like, man, I should have hired a professional. So this rebate is really to make sure that your propane appliance that you purchased is installed properly. So the propane professional will come out, do an inspection and make sure that there's no leaks and it was done properly. And you'll fill out the form, sign it, and they sign it, and we send you $200. It's that easy.
And you can find out all about this at thestateofenergy.com. Once again, thestateofenergy.com. We are on Instagram at thestateofenergy. And Tom, we've got to lead with this. We have to lead with our disclaimer because I got yelled at recently. We're not anti-electric, anti-solar, wind, hydro, geothermal. We're just talking about how propane can help with a balanced overall plan. We don't have to go broke becoming clean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, a neighbor, she bought a Tesla, and she goes, hey, I listen to your podcast, and you hate these electric vehicles. I'm like, no, I don't hate them.
You don't hate electricity. We're using electricity right now.
Yeah, just so you know what was going on. It's like, and then I respond with, you know, what'd you do? Just listen until you heard something you didn't like and then stop listening? And to her credit, she fired back with, well, if that was the case, I would have stopped listening when you introduced yourself. It's like, oh, okay, that's good. But it was a little into happy hour, so I had to fire back with, wow, it's amazing that someone as miserable as you can actually be funny.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my neighborhood.
You make a great neighbor, I guess.
Well, hey, I wasn't trying to start a fight. I was being yelled at for something that wasn't correct. That's where it started. Let's go back to the fact that we are not anti-electric. We want a clean environment. We want affordable energy.
Yeah.
Guess what? Propane can help get us there, all with everything else working in conjunction, an overall plan. So there you go.
And we like to share news stories and educate people about energy choices, because energy choices are under attack and the air doesn't seem to be getting any cleaner with all the changes that we've been making, forcing electricity. And I think maybe that's a good lead into this recent story from the Deseret News.
Yeah, I mean, it's U.S. magnesium contributes up to 25% of Wasatch Front pollution. And for those of you listening in Moscow or Beijing, those are basically the mountains just west of Salt Lake City.
Yeah, we gotta remind ourselves every once in a while that not everybody's that's listening knows where we're from and about the Utah mountain ranges. But yeah, right outside of Salt Lake City is a massive facility that takes the salt water from the Great Salt Lake. So if you were in Salt Lake for either, I don't know, there's a big airport here, you might have just landed and looking out the window, but you probably noticed that the air is not that clean. In fact, it's some of the dirtiest air in the country right here.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you noticed that when you were walking 45 miles to get your luggage at the Salt Lake City airport.
If you landed in Terminal B.
It is beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful airport now. It's done a lot.
It's a lot of walking, for sure. Yeah.
Well, let me tee this up. So U.S. Magnesium, the largest magnesium producer in the United States, located next to Utah's Great Salt Lake, is contributing up to 25% of the chemicals that help form the fine particulate pollution, or PM2.5, which is causes northern Utah's notorious inversions and health problems for vulnerable residents.
25% of that dirty air during these inversions is coming from one source.
Yeah. I mean, and the extracts from this material, from the brine of the Great Salt Lake, at the plant that's upwind of Salt Lake City, this particulate matter contains microscopic solids or liquid droplets that are small enough to be inhaled and can cause serious health problems, including respiratory complications, stroke, aggravated asthma, and early onset dementia, particularly in women.
This is wild, and this is nothing new. You can go back and look at the news on this magnesium plant, and you can see there's story after story after story. We've known that this is a major polluter. In the mid-90s, it was rated as like the number one polluter in the country, but the fact that there's one polluter that's 25% of the dirty air in Salt Lake City, and we haven't gone after it to close it down or to make them reduce their emissions by, you know, zero by 2035, like they're trying to do with forcing us all to buy electric cars, is wild that we would spend a whole bunch of other money doing things like replacing propane-powered clean buses at Zion's National Park with electric buses that doesn't change the needle at all.
And actually costs four or five times as much as one propane bus.
Yeah, so all this money that we're spending to try to clean up the air when we know where one major polluter is. So I started looking into it. I'm like, why haven't we decided that? Why haven't we shut these guys down yet? What's going on here? And you start to look at what these guys make. And one of the products is lithium.
Yes.
And you know what that's used for?
Electric vehicles for their batteries.
So isn't it ironic that you can be driving through the dirty air in Salt Lake City in the middle of the winter in an inversion, and you're looking at that going, man, I'm driving my clean EV. I wish everybody would drive a clean EV, and we could clean up this air. but yet, one of the reasons why there is so much dirty air is because of the products that it takes to produce that battery is coming right from your backyard and is contributing to 25% of those emissions. Right. It's wild. It really is. It's actually almost It's an amazing facility when you look at it on Google Earth.
I was just going to say, you should post this link on the site. It's crazy.
If you search on Google Earth for the city of Rowley, and it's Rowley, and you zoom in on it, it's not even a city at all, but it's just a big industrial facility, and it looks like something that you would see in North Korea. I mean, it really does. It looks like some weird Cold War facility, and they've got all this chemicals that's blowing out of these smokestacks, and they're producing this material so that we can have batteries
for our electric vehicles.
Yeah,
it's due west of Salt Lake. It's just straight across.
It is. It's what, 75 miles away, I think, is what it says. But you can zoom out and you can see this massive reservoir that they have dug a canal from the Great Salt Lake, and they flood this reservoir, and then they mine the salt out. They let it evaporate, and then they mine the salt out of it. And it looks really, really nasty when you zoom in on all of the tailings and the rust. Everything is just rusting away out there because of these chemicals. And it makes you think twice about what are we doing, and are we actually going the right direction? Because we see all these bans on gas appliances because we're trying to clean up the air, and you want to clean your emissions, and we got all this asthma producing gas appliances, but yet there's facilities like this that could wipe out 25% of the emissions with one company. But that'll never happen. This is a massive facility that makes all sorts of products and that we need for our daily lives, such as batteries. And that just goes into the ban on gas everything to try to reduce indoor emissions has produced a ton of news media lately.
It's insane. I mean, when you compare what's going on with that U.S. magnesium plant, that's just one plant. And what that's putting out into the atmosphere. And isn't it also affecting the ozone? I was reading as well in that area.
It's a major polluter. It's one of the largest in the country. And it's bad for asthma. It's bad for breathing. It's bad for your health. And it's just blowing right into Salt Lake City. And in fact, there's studies that show that these pollutants show up all the way to New York.
Wow. And since I was just in Colorado, I'll say, it's bad, okay? It's bad, Kate. South Park reference. And what Tom is talking about, all this is going on with that plant outside of Salt Lake City, but let's ban gas stoves. And now they're even trying to push for, they're investigating the process of banning water heaters, furnaces, clothes washers, dishwashers, ceiling fans, microwaves, and showerheads as well. And all of this... Well, everything's just billowing out just west of Salt Lake from that plant.
It's pretty amazing to think, if you ban all these gas appliances, what is the alternative? It's going to have to be something electric, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So if we're going to ban all these gas appliances and we're going to put electric appliances in, where are we going to get the electricity from?
From coal. We need that coal.
Well, even if you do get the electricity, there's not enough to go around, so we have to store it. And so now there's all these companies that are making batteries for your home. You'll have giant battery in your garage, and you'll have to bank that battery to be able to use it. So when the grid's not being used all the time, it's charging your battery up because there's just not enough electricity to go around to be able to accomplish what they're talking about with all these gas bans. But the interesting part about like just the electric stove gas ban that we heard about so much, that it's been all over the national news, right? We've seen it in from every single news outlet. They've taken that report from earlier in January, and they've made every single twist that you could possibly imagine, from calling it a nationwide gas ban to now it's just, they're backing up their statements and saying, well, we didn't really mean we're going to ban gas, but
it's the deficit reduction ban.
the report was basically saying that if you cook with gas versus cooking with electricity, you're producing more indoor air emissions and that the asthma rates are higher.
Yeah, but that doesn't line up with some of the numbers we have right here.
It doesn't add up at all. Because the National Propane Gas Association has quoted some stuff directly from the CDC and the EIA. And what do they show?
California has the most gas stoves at 70% and has a 0.5% lower asthma rate than the nation average. But you go to New Mexico, who has 50% gas stoves. What's the number there? 20% higher asthma rate in New Mexico with 50% of the gas stoves. And here in California, where I'm at right now, there's 70% gas stoves and the asthma rate is lower.
So none of these things add up. No. Because they're saying, oh, if we reduce the gas stoves, then the asthma cases are going to go down. But yet when in communities that already have low gas and high electric stoves,
New Mexico,
the rates are actually higher. That's pretty interesting. Sounds like somebody has not done their homework on this, and it really boils down to what are you cooking? And I bet you money you could probably go back and look at, you know, the region and say, you know, this region likes to cook ramen noodles and this region likes to cook whatever crazy thing you're cooking, and that's
dung.
it's the
dung science.
It's the difference in what you're cooking at night, right? So different regions of the country, they cook different types of foods. They use different types of greases and oils to cook, and that's what.
And there's meth.
No, seriously, this is what's causing your indoor air quality. It has nothing to do with if you're using gas versus electric. It depends on what you're putting in the pan. If you're putting some dirty oils and you don't have a ventilation, you don't have a hood that's blowing the air out of your house, you're breathing that emissions from the food that you're cooking.
That man with a big brain, his name is Tom Clark. He's the executive director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Randy Witt, and right now you are enjoying the State of Energy. We are the podcast. You can find out more about what we can do for you, meaning propane, and learn more about propane and how it can improve your life by going to thestateofenergy.com. Once again, that is thestateofenergy.com. Tom, this next topic, we'll title this, if you can't ban it, tax the hell out of it. That's the title of this next segment, because a lot going on up in the state of Washington right now.
Yeah, this is what I was telling you earlier. I don't think this gas ban is not just a news media sweep that's going to just go away. They're going to continue to bring this up over and over and over, and this is never going to end until they get their way or there's a major change. Somewhere there's going to have to be some type of studies or there's going to have to be a sweeping change, because right now in the Washington state, there's a new clean fuel standard that went into effect the 1st of January. And this thing's been in the works for years and years, but it's an actual law now. And it basically, it's just a tax on fuel. It's a tax on carbon fuels.
Yeah. I mean, this story out of the Chronicle, higher gas prices or a better future. A new year often brings new laws set to go into effect. And this year brings two of the most controversial: a clean fuel standard and a cap and trade program. Both programs passed the legislature in 2021, and they're aimed at reducing greenhouse gas emissions statewide in Washington state in an effort to tackle climate change, but have resulted in criticism in their efforts on their effects on prices once they're implemented, because this could raise gas prices as much as 50 cents a gallon.
Can you imagine all of a sudden you just see the prices of gas just keep creeping up and up and up and up. Mm-hmm. And now you're like, man, the gas is really expensive and it's never going to come back down. That'll never, never go down, no matter what the actual price of gasoline goes. The tax is going to be so high
once they get there.
You might think to yourself, "What are we going to do? We got to save some money." What's your next choice? What's your next option?
Let's get an electric vehicle.
You're going to be forced to go buy an electric vehicle. And this is what I'm talking about. Instead of banning it right out, they're just going to tax us to death, and you won't even be able to afford the gas. So you're going to go purchase an electric vehicle and just comply. That's what's going to happen.
But how do you do that? I mean, these electric vehicles, I mean, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 and on up. How can a middle class family make that decision? It's like we either getting jammed on gases or we're getting jammed on an electric vehicle, which typically lasts what, about 100,000 miles?
Well, it's not even. We got to start with why is Washington doing this? Is one, they have,
is it crazy?
It's a totally different state. It's not part of the United States, I don't think. They have a lot of clean electricity. They have a lot of hydropower. And when you start to look into hydroelectric, you start to wonder, why don't we have more hydroelectric? And if you do any type of research about hydroelectricity, you'll see that Washington has some of the, out of the top 10 hydropower stations, Washington has like 4 or 5 out of the top 10. But then if you look into how old are these things, and when was the newest one put into place, these things are old. That big one in Washington at Grand Coulee is built in 1942. the Hoover Dam was built in the 30s.
Yeah.
1936 is when it opened. I mean, they started that project like 10 years before that, though. It's crazy to think that just because Washington State has a bunch of clean electricity that comes from hydro, that this is going to save the world, because you're not going to see another Hoover Dam.
No. I mean, last dam that was built was what, 1985?
Out of these big ones. I mean, there's a few that have been built over the years.
Right.
But the history behind the hydro dams is, in 1949, 30% of our electricity was coming from hydro. And from 49 to 69, they increased that production by 300% over that time period. But over the last 10 years, we've only increased by 3%. Over the last 50 years, it's been fairly flat. And today, hydro only accounts for 6% of the electricity produced. So why is that?
We have to address the fact that these folks over at MIT, they kind of know some stuff.
Yeah. So
they say hydropower is more damaging to the client than it helps.
MIT did a little write up on why aren't we looking at more hydropower, and they have a whole list of things. But bottom line is, we've kind of maxed out the hydropower on where it's at, and the facts are, sometimes these hydropower plants are, at the end of the day, they're no cleaner than a fossil fuel resource.
And what does that do to the environment as well when you're damming up water like that? If we're really going to go real on environmental stuff?
Yeah, you got to look at you got to look at everything. You go all the way back to the millions of people that are displaced by dams, and the millions of people that are affected by downstream effects of a dam, which is reduced food security, regular flooding, and just impacts on their whole entire life. You can check it. Real reports from a place like MIT. I mean, that's real. You don't get any realer than that. But the solution here is, we need electricity, and they're going to push all this electrify everything as far as they can go. And propane is here. You can make clean electricity for your home, your business, your farm, and you can do it with propane, and you can have that energy security so that if there is a problem, there is an outage, or there's some type of disaster or an attack, maybe domestic or foreign, you'll have that energy security by producing clean power. power right at your home with a propane powered generator.
That is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt, and we are always online at thestateofenergy.com.